not just a speculation, but that there is a pattern that just as when it comes to a par in the framework of Korbanos, a par will often channel some of the themes of the Egel Hazav, in particular a par l'chatas, that an ayil, and in particular an ayil le'ola, may connote some of the hallmarks of the Akedah. Now, this might be in a, you know, merely a homiletical sense, and then there's not so much we ought to make of it. Namely, it's just, you know, again, a drasha, and the formulations we saw in the context of Bilam and Balak, Vayal par v'ayil bamizbeach, Keneged Elo shel Avraham, as one example, and of course, in the context of the Korban HaNesiim, the voluntary offering, I shouldn't say the voluntary offering, the Korban Sha'a, the temporary offering, rather, of the Nesiim, which had many different elements, including six Elim, five of them were Shlamim, but then this one Ayil Le'olah, and again, Chazal, do identify that Ayil Le'olah as rooted in the Akedah, and then third and finally, and like maybe most critically for our purposes, in the context of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Karban Shel Aharon, Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, Bepar Ben Bakar LeChatas, Ve'ayil Le'olah, the Ayil Le'olah being structurally maybe rooted in the Akedah. In which case, maybe this is really the goal that we've been building up to for these many weeks, is the idea that the Akedah really does continue to live on in a very halachic and formal sense in the context of Korbanos. So we had noted, we just went through it yesterday schematically, and now everybody has the sources so you could refer back to it anytime you want, all the times when the ayil appears throughout the framework of Korbanos. We started with the Bris Bein HaMesarim, and we spoke about the Akedah. We moved from there to the example in Sefer Shmos. Anybody just to review, it also comes up again in Vayikra. What was the other example that we had of Ayil and Shmos? There was the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim, right, as part of the consecration. And there were two Elim brought every single day. One was the El Hamiluim, which was a Karban Shlamim, but there was also an Ayil Liola. And then we went from there again to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and we noted that there's a parallel between the Avodas Yom HaKippurim and Yom HaShmini, right? Because Aharon on the eighth day brought Par V'ayil, and that's the Korban that he repeats every year on Yom Kippur, as if to say, this is really a Yom Kippur theme, that every year on Yom Kippur you sort of reset the Mikdash. It shouldn't be a surprise, because remember, Aharon's Par V'ayil, Go ahead.
Okay, good.
Oh, thanks. So the in particular, the you know, there is a connotation in the context of Avodas Yom HaKippurim of being mechaper certain korbanos tumas mikdash vikadshav, that elements that had gone awry, so to speak, in the mikdash inadvertently become tameh. So it's sort of a reset button for the mikdash, which is very nice, at the idea that you're actually channeling the Karban to a certain extent anyway. The Karban Aharon is the Karban of Yom HaShmini. And then we noted that throughout the context of the Moadim, you find the Ayil Olah. And, you know, it's just important to be aware of what I call the par to Ayil ratio. The typical framework for a Karban Musaf is seven kivasim and one Ayil, and then a Seir Lechatas. And you could either have one or two parim. So again, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, you have one par. Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos, you have two parim. The parim outweigh the elim. But anyway, that's just something that we noted. And again, the point is each time to sort of say, does this Ayil Le'olah bear any kind of a hallmark of Akedas Yitzchak? So just going a drop further, which we're going to take a look at today, we're going to take a look at the Avodas Yom HaKippurim itself and really key in on this. We noted just like one little anomaly as far as Avodas Yom HaKippurim goes. This is the last point that we got to yesterday. Anybody just want to review? What was the little odd piece of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? We know that there's at least one aisle in the context of Aharon's personal korban, Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, Bepar Ben Bakar LeChatas, V'ayil Le'olah. But we noted there's this very fascinating anomaly, namely, that when it comes to the Korban Ha'am, we'll take a look at it inside in just a second, right, there's another aisle that's mentioned. This aisle is a little bit mysterious, and we noted very briefly yesterday that Shitas Rebbe, the one that we seem to paskin like, is that this aisle is actually not an additional aisle, which is part of what we would call the Korban Ha'am of Yom Kippur, but it's part of the Musaf.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was the only animal, the only Korban Musaf referenced in all of Sefer Vayikra. Normally you have to wait until Sefer Bamidbar, right, the Parshas Pinchas, to get into all the Korbanos Musaf. So what we're going to do now, I just put out Sefer Vayikras and Sefer Bamidbars. Copy machine is still down. Mi Yichya Umi Yamos copy machines as well. But it's fine for us today. I just noted, just to let everybody know who came in before I... just after I had said it, that if anybody wants Friday, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Shabbos, Shabbason, you want to have like an extra chabura just to go through Avodas Yom HaKippurim, I'm happy to do it. Okay, so do you mind if I just take a Bamidbar? Anybody just have one Bamidbar for me? You don't have to give up your own Bamidbar. Okay.
My Bamidbar and your Bamidbar are the same.
Did you get a Bamidbar?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, this is
and a Vayikra.
Oh, is that Vayikra?
Yeah, there should be. I have a Bamidbar. All right, okay, so just to turn to Parshas Pinchas, just to sort of put what I was saying into some more concrete terms. So if you take a look at page 170.
In the art scroll.
The pagination is not in the Torah itself.
In the stone.
Right. Right, you haven't been... that's funny. They haven't been able to, like, formally sponsor Sefer Bamidbar yet. Sefer Bamidbar is brought to you by, you know, such and such family. That would really be something. Okay, so, Simon, do you mind just reading from us for us from Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Zayin through Yud Aleph?
Sure.
Okay, so on the 10th day of the 7th month, Bimikra Kodesh.
And you will afflict your souls,
right.
And not do no work shall be done.
Okay, right, so this is really interesting. We discussed this last year and the year before, that Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, it's a day with very special Kedushas Hayom. Okay, and the Kedushas Hayom expresses itself in... I would say the singular Kedushas Hayom expresses itself, and this is the only time you have this construct in all of Torah and Halacha, V'inisem esnafsho seichem. The Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur doesn't merely express itself in the typical manifestation of Kedushas Hayom, which would be, what's the general? Isser Malacha. Very well done, Simon, but it has a unique element. Again, it connotes that as well, but it has a unique element of Inui.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. And uve asor lachodesh hashvi'i hazeh. Jeff, what do you make of hazeh?
Well, you often be an argument that it's sha'ah instead of ledoros.
Well, go back to pasuk aleph for a second, and you'll see exactly what it's referring to. And it's a really, again, one word in the Torah can connote so much. Uve chodesh hashvi'i be'echad lachodesh.
Right.
So then, again, pasuk zayin. Uve asor lachodesh hashvi'i hazeh.
Of the same month.
Good. So what's the... And again, just by way of contrast, and Jacob, you'll hammer it home in a second, Pasuk Yud Bet, Uvachamisha asar yom lachodesh hashvi'i, no hazeh.
Huh.
So what is... And then again, that goes to talk about Sukkot. Go ahead,
some linkage between the first and the...
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are part of the same construct. And we know that. Remember, we speak about that so much in the context of the shofar. How do we know to even use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Well, because we use a shofar on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, but right, that Rosh Hashanah is controlled by Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah gets its framework and meaning. Again, it's a much broader day than Yom Kippur, as Rav Rosenzweig always likes to say, but it's controlled by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the telos. Okay? Chodesh HaShvi'i HaZeh. All right, sorry for interrupting you, Simon.
V'hikrav tem olal Hashem riach nikov par ben bachar echad ayal echad kevasim b'nei shana shiva
Okay, so the Karban Musaf, as we have it here, has a nine-animal Karban Ola, which is, again, exactly the framework that we have on Rosh Hashanah, which is not be a surprise, because they're all part of one framework. And Parben Makar Echad, Ayil Echad, so again, we have the Ayil Ola here. And Shiva Kvasim Tmimim, you know, the B'nai Shana, so seven sheep. Okay.
Minchatam Shalat Belula B'Shemen, Shlosha Esronim Lepar, Shnei Esronim La'ayil Ha'achad.
Okay.
So
again, the standard ratios, yep. This is a general halacha, that the Mincha Nesachim is determined by the type of animal. So the par is the largest animal, gets the largest Mincha Nesachim. The ayil is the middle animal, it gets the middle level. And now Visaron, Yisaron LaKeves Ha'achad.
Yisaron Yisaron LaKeves Ha'achad, Yishiva HaKevesim.
Okay.
Sir Azim Echad HaKatat.
Okay, and that's the 10th animal in the Korban Musaf.
Moval Chatat HaKippurim.
Okay, good. And so the Torah is just hinting here, Milvad Chatas HaKippurim V'lasa Tamid. Obviously, Yom Kippur is one of the days of the year, right? So you also bring a Karban Tamid, right? Two animals. And yet, right, there's also this Chatas HaKippurim, which Chazal explained is a reference back to what we learned in Vayikra. We're going to take a look at it now, namely the special, right, Karban Chatas of Yom Kippur, the Seir Chatas, right? The Shnei Asi'irim that you take, one of them is Lazazel, one of them is Chatas LaHashem, LaHashem Chatas. Okay, very good. So this is what we have in Sefer Bamidbar. And again, the ayil which is referenced is the ayil Korban Ha'am, part of the Korban Musaf. Okay, so just, it's important to have that in background. Now let's take a look at Sefer Vayikra. We're going to trade in our Bamidbars, not permanently. Anybody missing a Sefer Vayikra?
No, I don't.
You got one? Okay. I think we have. Yep. Simon, you have a Sefer Vayikra?
Yeah, later.
Okay, I think, I hope that is bright enough. Okay. So this is Perek Tezayin. Okay. Okay, so, alright, so we're starting on page 94. Okay. All right, Dov, you want to read for us?
From the beginning?
Sure.
Ve'deber Hashem al Moshe acharei mos shnei b'nei Aaron. Ve'karavta lefnei Hashem ve'yamuz.
Okay.
Ve'yomar Hashem al Moshe daber el Aaron achicha ve'al yavo b'chol eis el ha-kodesh mi'beis l'parokas al p'nei ha-kaporas asher al Aaron lo yamuz ki ba'anan ara al ha-kaporas.
So Aaron is being told that, right, the al yavo b'chol eis el ha-kodesh, right, that there's something very restrictive about the Kodesh Kadashim. And again, of course, the context is Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aharon. We know that this is no, you know, this is a very grave matter. Okay. Okay, so this is the formula for approaching, you know, Lifnai B'lifnim. Par ben bakar l'chatas. The ayil leola, two animals, two different types of korbanos, chatas and ola. Again, you could have two different animals as part of, you could have nine animals as part of a korban ola. You could have a massive korban, right? We spoke about a korban shlamim yesterday. Jeff, you remember how large was the korban shlamim of the Nisim?
16.
17 animals, right? Right, huge. You could have, right, again, and here it's just one animal each. There's something very singular about the Avodas Hayom HaKippurim, right? Par lechatas, ayil leola, and again, Simon, this framework we saw already before in the context of the Yom HaShemini.
Where do we say that this is on a particular day?
Ooh, very good. Very good. Right, it's a very odd thing, right? It's only at the end of the Parsha that we're given the dates. Right, so what did the Vilna Gaon say? Very good, Dov. Maybe Jeff?
I don't remember what he said.
What would he say? What's that?
Every day has the potential.
Very
to be
good. That with respect to Aharon, mm-hmm. right? That Aharon may have had the right to do this whenever he wanted. In later generations, it's restricted to Yom Kippurim. That Aharon had special access. In other words, Bezos Yavo Aharon al Kodesh. Bezos Yavo Aharon al Kodesh. But again, that's one of the Vilna Gaon's. That's amazing. But it gives you a certain perspective on what Avodas Yom HaKippurim really is, it also gives you an insight into who Aaron really was. But there's a lot, you know, that's not going to be our topic for now. If you want to discuss that a little bit more on Friday, I'd be very, very happy to. But Dov, very well done. You didn't just read for us, but you read what wasn't there, and that might be even more important in this case.
So what the Vilna says that
Aaron theoretically could have done this whenever he wanted to. Of course, in later generations, you know what? I'll just front load this piece, not because I wouldn't have done this had Dov not mentioned it, but just because I can actually be a little bit flexible here. Okay, that's a good thing. just to instantiate what Dov is saying and help support the Vilna Gaon's approach. And then we're going to come back and go in order. Remember what a Chazal say, that a Kohen Gadol who goes, does the Avodas Yom HaKippurim out of order is Chayiv Misa. So even if he does everything right. So we don't want to go out of order too much with Avodas Yom HaKippurim. But when we're learning about it, you know, maybe we can have a little...
But it's also possible that you're saying Aaron could have, or he said that Aaron could have done it any time. That might only be retroactively, I should say. In other words, after what happened to Nadav and Abihu.
Well, it's all after Nadav and Abihu. I mean, Nadav and Abihu, as we know, died on the first day the Mishkan was operating. There was no period of Mishkan before Nadav and Abihu. Nadav and Abihu
was the one who was performing.
Well, what did we call it yesterday? The pregame.
Right.
Soft opening.
Thank you. The soft opening, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so Dov, if you don't mind, since you mentioned it, just to go to Pasuk Chavtes for a second, which is where the dates are given. Dov, this is just we read this every year. We're just sometimes we don't pick up on it. So it's page 102, but this is exactly what Dov was picking up on: the fact that the dating is only given at the end. So only now, v'haysa lachem l'chukas olam, meaning in perpetuity. So l'chukas olam. So what does it have to be localized to? Isn't that awesome? But that doesn't tell Aharon to do it. Then the implication is that Chazal understood that that's when he did it. But anyway, tanuas nafsho seichem. The day again expresses itself in inui. V'chol melacha lo sa'asu. Here again, the Isser melacha, arguably, and Jacob, remember, we discussed this last year and the year before, about the idea of total shvisa on Yom Kippur, and saying which one is the dominant theme. Is it the Isser melacha? Remember, the Isser melacha of Yom Kippur isn't the Isser melacha of Yontif. It's the Isser melacha of Shabbos. Is it that which triggers the inoy, or is it the inoy which triggers a total shvisa, right? There's like a little bit of a puzzle there. So again, here, tanuas nafsho seichem, the inoy is first, v'chom lacha lo sasu. Okay. We'll talk about this pasuk a lot in Yom Kippur. Ki vayom hazeh. Okay. Okay, so pasuk lamed.
Ki vayom hazeh, yukhaper alaykhem l'tahar etchem.
Okay, very celebrated pasuk, kapara, tahara. The Rav tried to figure out what is kapara, what is tahara, what is the relationship between kapara and tahara. Not our topic for now. Right, so in this pasuk, the inoy seems, right, subsequent or as a consequence of Shabbos Shabbason. Remember, the Rambam speaks about this pasuk actually was a very strong, put its imprimatur on the Rambam's approach, which is that, right, even the inoy is really a din in shvisa, that not only does one cease and desist from malacha, but one ceases and desists from human activities, such as washing or eating or tashmish hamita. In other words, that's also a form of cessation. And you see how that emerges very organically from this pasuk. Shabbos, Shabbason, hilach. It's the ultimate Shabbos. Shabbos le'inyan malacha, but which is not a unique feature of Yom Kippur. You have that every week, but also Shabbos le'inyan inuyim. That would be right. So again, you just depending on the pasuk, you get a different impression in terms of. And again, it's not meant to be one or the other. It's probably dialectical. There is a certain sense in which the Shabbos triggers the inui, and there may be a different sense in which the inui directly emanates from the Kedusha Sayom of Mikra Kodesh. Okay, be that as it may.
V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach asher yimshach oso v'asher yimalei es yado l'chahin tachas aviv.
Okay, so right, that this is now we're being told again that, you know, Ledoros, who is going to do this avoda? Hakohen asher yimshach oso v'asher yimalei es yado, the special ma'amad of the Kohen Gadol l'chahin tachas aviv, tachas Aharon, that in other words, Aharon's stamp, personal stamp, is all over the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Without getting too far afield, this of course has to do with the fact that, what does it mean that somebody can, so yeah, if I ask Jeff to put on tefillin for me in the morning, it's almost like nonsense, right? So what does it mean that I could ask Jeff to do kapara for me? It's almost a nonsensical suggestion, right? Of course it's a kind of a person. It's not like something which should be nitan l'shlichus. So again, the only type of person, this part of a much broader story, we'll talk about it on Yom Kippur, but the only way that could even theoretically work is if the kind of person that I was asking to be my shliach had this kind of, was more than just a shliach, uniquely personally invested, right? That of course was, there's the paradigm of that in our Masorah is Aharon, right? Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. He was so invested in each one of us as a person.
There's
so again,
the concept that, I mean, maybe that he's not a shaliach.
He's more than that.
It's his job. It's nothing to do with you. That's his function.
It's built in, right?
It's his quality.
Right.
Well, that's why it's a verb.
Right. So again, it's a very elegant idea, right? That it transcends the general rubric of shlichus. The Kohen Gadol, right? Again, and maybe that's why, again, to be the Kohen Gadol, what does he have literally strapped to his body? Sort of in parallel to the way that every Jew strapped tefillin to their body. The Shmos B'nai Yisrael, right? On his shoulders and over his heart. He's literally carrying the people with him. He's more than just a shliach, or a shliach in uniform, right? Bisman sheh begadav alav kehunaso alav, right? When those clothes are on him, he's transformed. Begabra. So again, this pasuk itself highlights v'lavashes bigdei habad, bigdei hakodesh, right? The role of the bigdei kahuna in creating the personality, the persona is actually a better term for it, the persona of the Kohen Gadol. But anyway, it's an amazing idea of tachas aviv. So I just wanted to read. Yeah, exactly. So, I just wanted to read one Rashi here because it's such a powerful, it's probably the most powerful formulation of this idea of the special quality of Aharon. This is the Rashi on Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'chiper HaKohen asher yimshach oso, kapara zo shel Yom HaKippurim, Rashi says, quoting the Gemara Yoma, ein ekshera ela b'kohen gadol. So then Rashi says something from the Sifra. Lefi shenemra kol haparsha be'aharon, right? Since everything had been said so specifically relative to Aharon, bezos yavo Aharon el hakodesh, right? It's not the Kohen Gadol who happens to be Aharon, it's Aharon who is the Kohen Gadol. It's an amazing line. Hutzrach lomar b'Kohen Gadol haba'achrav sheyehe kamohu. We needed a special pasuk to tell us that this could continue after Aharon's personal passing. So the way that I like to think about this Torah Kohanim, this Sifra, is, right, because it's one thing to say that Aharon can actually be a representative of the Jewish people. Not just an agent, but a representative. But who's that guy? Right? He's not our Ohev Shalom, Virodev Shalom. He's not our Aharon. So the Pasuk says, he's irreplaceable, but in this sense, right, he's Tachas Aharon. For any Kohen Gadol to be legitimate on Yom Kippur, he really has to walk very much in the shoes, not just to wear the clothes of Aharon, literally. Remember, Aharon's literal clothes get put on Elazar. It's like Aharon's personal charisma was being transmitted to his son. It's just a very powerful idea. So anyway, you have that theme, the Dore Doros. Okay.
Keep coming in this, or?
If you don't mind, just so again, he has to actually purify the Kodesh Kadashim, that what we call the Kodesh, where the Shulchan is and where the menorah is and where the Mizbeach HaZahav is. Right. So again, his responsibility to be mitar and mechaper both the Mikdash itself and the Kohanim and the Am.
Chaper al b'nei Yisrael b'kol chatosam b'pas b'shanah.
Vayas. Okay, very good. So again, you know, so again, just take a look at Rashi. Vayas kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe shehigia Yom HaKippurim asa keseder hazeh, that Aharon waited until Yom Kippur, right? But what the Gaon is noting is, right, that it never says that Aharon has to wait until Yom Kippur. It says that l'dori doros. Okay, but be that as it may, you have that. This is the Dov. I just raised all that because of your very excellent inference based on the psukim. Okay, so again, Bezos yavo Aharon el
kodesh, but parvim bakarla patas
va'ayalo. Okay, we're just going back to the beginning. Okay. All right, very good. So again, what garments should he wear? Again, the big day kahuna are so vital. Okay, so you have the ksonas and you have the michnasayim. That's two. Remember, there are eight big day kahuna. Three, the belt. Four. Right, that he has to do tevila and then put them on. Remember, there are five tevilos on Yom Kippur. If you want, we can talk about this on Friday. 10 times he has to wash his hands and his feet. But what's missing? Only 4 clothes are mentioned.
Well, this is the Kohen Hedyot's clothes, isn't it?
Right, so why all of a sudden, on the most important day of the year, is the Kohen Gadol downgrading his attire to the attire of the Kohen Hedyot?
I believe the story is that so we don't do the kategor thing.
In kategor na'aseh sanigor, you can't wear any of what we call the big day zahav. All of the other big day kahuna, right? The ephod and the me'il and the choshen and the tzitz have zahav in them, and since right he can't and go lifnai v'lifnim. What's that?
Especially if it's Aharon.
Absolutely. So that's why the Kohen Gadol keeps on having to go back and forth and changing between what we call the Big Day Lavan and putting on the Big Day Zahav. And each time he changes clothes, in other words, anytime he does something outside of the Kodesh, outside of the, when he's not going to go all the way in, what we say, Lifnai V'Lifnim, he can wear all 8 Begadim, and not only can he, but he must. Anytime he's going inside, and again, he's shuttling back and forth all day, he has to do a Tzvila. There are 5 tevilos on this day, 10 kiddushei yadayim v'raglayim. It's a great topic to learn. We say it in our davening, so it's good to prepare beforehand. So that's when he gets entirely changed and he just puts on the big day lavan, the big day habad, that are made of linen. Okay. So that's Aaron's personal korban. And again, it's said in this pasuk, v'rachatz v'mayim es bisaro levesham. Every time that he changes his clothes, he's going to have to do a tevila. Okay, Dov Umei Eis.
Umei Eis, Adas Bnei Yisrael Yitach, Shnei Sirim Yizim L'Chatas, V'Ayel Echad L'Olam.
Okay, and from the Jewish people, you'll have Shnei Sirim Yizim L'Chatas. We well know what that's going to be, right? The Goralos, one is going to be Lazazel, one is going to be offered as a Chatas Bifnim. But Ayel Echad L'Olam, what does it sound like? Right, that, very good, Sharon. In other words, as a special korban of that day, not the Karban Musaf, but the Ayel Echad Le'ola in parallel to... that the Kohen Gadol has 2 Karbanos, a Chatas and an Ola. The Chatas happens to be a par, and the Ola is an Ayel. So you would think, okay, so the Eda, they have a Chatas, the Si'irim, which form a unit, it's a complex kind of a Chatas, right? Because you have the Chatas Hanasa Bifnim, and then the Sir Lazazel, but okay, that's basically the Chatas. And then the Ola is the Isle. And indeed, that's the way. I don't know if anybody got a chance to take an advanced look at the Makaros. The printer is downside. Can't read it inside, but the Gemara in Yom Adaf Ayin says that's the way Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah learns. That's a simple reading of the Psukim. In which case, there's an Isle Ola, not just of the Kohen Gadol, but of the entire in perfect parallel, and maybe even right the hallmark, the theory is correct, again speculation, but that's the thesis we're trying to explore, right, that the original Ayel Le'olah is expressed, meaning going back to the Akedah, is expressed on the level of both the Kohen Gadol and the Am. Right, so that's the, again, that's a simple reading of the psukim. There's nothing, again, if it were referring to, as Rebbe says, and as we seem to paskin, the Isle of the Korban Musaf, what's missing from this pasuk? If this isn't just a separate aisle, as Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, but as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wants to say, it's the aisle of the Chumash HaPekudim.
Then there's no par.
Where's the par? Where's the seven kevasim? So, Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra, it makes a lot more sense to say what Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah is saying. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, well, the pasuk here hints to the fact that it's the same aisle. How so? Because it says, Shnei sirei yizim lechatas ve'ayil echad le'ola. Ayil echad. What did the pasuk? Anybody remember what the pasuk said in Bamidbar? I think Simon read it for us. So, pasuk says in Bamidbar, right? Par echad, ayil echad. It uses exactly the same expression. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so it's
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, the next pasuk it doesn't mention the ayil echad, even though it brings back the par chatas of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the rest of the parak is about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and I'll take you to the pasuk where it says, finally...
It doesn't say Le'olah. It says Parachad, Ayil Echad.
Right. Parachad, Ayil Echad.
Well, it doesn't mention
in Bamidbar. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's argument, that the Ayil Echad here is really the Ayil from Bamidbar. Again, the big question is, where's the par, and where's the kvasim, and where's the seir?
Well, there is a par in the next pasuk here.
Right, but again, that's the par of Aaron. Vikriva Aaron is parachatas asher lo, not the par of the Musaf. Mm-hmm. So, certainly according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, the ayil le'ola, right, because there are really two of them, there's one which is Aharon's, and there's one which is the Am's. The ayil stands out in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which is a very tantalizing idea. But what I want to do, so the 10 minutes or so we have left, is to say that even according to Rebbe, perhaps ironically, even more powerfully, the aisle will emerge. Even though, again, Rebbe is saying this aisle is the same aisle as part of the Korban Musaf, but ironically, and this is what I'm going to try to develop, according to Rebbe, what's so remarkable, that even though you would have thought that the aisle is just one animal amongst all the other nine animals of the Korban Musaf of Yom Kippur, because there are seven kevasim and one par, the Torah only mentions it as if it's the only animal of the Korban Ola, of Musaf. It's privileged. It may have peers, but it's really first amongst equals. Moreover, in real life, what would be the best proof of this idea? That even according to Rebbe, that this aisle isn't a separate aisle which is brought, but it's part of the Korban Musaf, what would be a great way of highlighting the singularity of the aisle in real life? I don't expect anybody to know this, just in case anybody saw the Rambam.
Aaron's the only one handling it?
Well, Aaron actually is the only one who can do any of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. But what would it be? Just logically structured, without knowing anything about it. If you wanted to highlight the singularity of the aisle relative to the other animals of the Korban Musaf...
How do we know that this is all...
We don't. I mean, you would. So Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah would say it's not. It's a separate. It's a separate aisle. That there are two different sets of korbanos that have to be offered on Yom Kippur. There's the Sefer Vayikra set, and then there's the Sefer Bamidbar set, and never the twain shall meet. Aside from that, you know, veiled reference Melvad Chatas HaKippurim. Yes, Sharon.
If you did it in a different
time. Very good. Excellent, and that is indeed what we find. That is exactly the way that the halacha comes down. And again, we can take a look at it inside on Friday, but that the ayil is actually done at a different time than all the other animals of the Korban Musaf. Even according to Rebbe. Meaning, according to Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah, the ayil certainly stands out because it's a different ayil. This isn't the ayil of the Korban Musaf. There's a separate ayil, the Olah. But even according to Rebbe, that this is just, you know, one of the nine animals of the Korban Olah, the Torah singles it out, privileges it, and actually halachically it's offered at a different time. So just to go ahead, just to read where, so again, all the next pesukim about the par and the seir and the seir lazazel and the ketores, those are the three real special avodos of the Yom HaKippurim.
When it says over here,
yeah.
Is one of them for the Azazel?
Yeah, one of them is Seir Lazazel, and the other one is just a special Seir of Yom Kippur. Nothing to do with the Korban Musaf.
Right. Does this have anything to do with Yaakov? And, you know,
could be. Remember, that's the way the Vayikra Rabbah had it.
But the this is very specific about what he prepared for, what Rivka prepared for Yitzchak, and in a sense pulled the wool over his eyes.
It was seer, right?
Lechna el hatzon, v'kach l'chamisham shtei gidayei izim.
So is that the same thing as seer izim?
It's a great, you know, I haven't thought deeply about that. That's really interesting. It's really interesting. Okay. Great point.
It's confusing because what Isaac thought he was eating was not that.
Right, but this is what, I mean, this is how we got our legacy, but at the same time we have to, it came via subterfuge.
Right, but it's, that's the part that's interesting, is that we're sacrificing not the animal that theoretically he thought he was eating, but the animal he was really eating.
Okay, so let's just skip ahead to the last two psukim we'll see today, or Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel again. So the next, again, we can read the whole thing on Friday inside. Just time won't allow for that now. But again, all the next psukim focus on the parachatas of Aharon, and the Shnei Hasi'irim, and the Avodas HaKtores. So again, nothing about the aisle. So now Chaf Beis rounds off that whole discussion. V'nasa ha-sa'ir alav es kol avonosam el eretz gizeirah. Right, the Se'ir la-zazel, let's not forget that of the two Se'irim, the Se'ir la-zazel is the one that carries all of our avonos. The Seir Hanasa Bifnim is a very targeted korban. The Seir, which is offered inside, is only for, again, Tumas Mikdash Vikadshav. It's only for the things that went awry. It's a very local korban. But Vinasaha Seir Alav is Kol Avonosam El Eretz Gezerah means this literally, this animal, so to speak, takes all of our sins away. It's this very, right? Can you imagine that? This animal that's literally carrying all of our sins away. It's such a poetic construct, you know, it's beautiful every time you just think about it. I always imagine this seer walking off into the sunset with the ishit. Okay, it's poetic, right? It's very beautiful.
I don't feel sad, but I don't see it as, I see it as very violent, actually.
Yeah.
I guess I was not able to soften the image.
You didn't carry the goat right to the edge. You just went till you got to the mountain.
Okay, Chav Gimel. Uva Aaron el Ohel Moed. And again, now Aharon comes to the Ohel Moed. Ufa Shad is Bigdei Habad Asher Lavash Biva Ohel HaKodesh. And now he changes out of just the white linen clothes. Vihini Cham Sham. And he retires those clothes. This is the phrase in the Pasuk that we learn that the Bigdei Kohen Gadol that were used for 1 year can never be worn again. They're retired. Right, every Yom Kippur brings its own challenges. Very beautiful. You raise them up to the rafters of the Beis Hamikdash, and that's it. You don't really raise them up to the rafters, but it's a very beautiful idea. Okay, v'rachot es b'sarov v'mayim b'makom kadosh. Okay, another tefillah. V'lavash es b'gadav. V'yatza, and now Aharon again comes out. V'asa es ola so, he brings his ola. We know what his ola is. He only has one ola. What's his personal ola? Remember, the par is a chatas. B'zos yavo aron al kodesh b'par ben bakar l'chatas v'ayol le'ola. So this is his ayol. V'es olas ha'am. And the animals, and the nation's ola. V'chiper badov aram. What's the nation's ola?
Also the
it's got to be the aisle referenced before. So the only question is this aisle going to be the same aisle as the Karban Musaf? And this is a hint, this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's approach, is the way we seem to learn, that it's part of the Karban Musaf. Or according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, the Olas Ha'am, which is a separate aisle, is directly parallel to the aisle of Aaron. But either way, right, the Torah is saying is that the aisle alone, whether it's part of Korban Musaf or whether it's its own animal, the aisle of the people is in parallel to the aisle of Aharon. In which case, on the holiest day of the year, on the day of the year when, right, the Mikdash is the center of all of the activity, the aisle, the Ola, emerges from many animals. Right, and that would be, again, you know, we can't say this definitively yet, anyway, as we're just presenting an idea, but for your consideration, right, if it really were so, that we, as we've tried to argue, that the basis of all of Kachim is really the Akedah and so many different things that happen there, and in particular the Ayah Le'olah, so then that would be just remarkable. That the Ayah Le'olah at two levels, at the personal level of Aharon as the Kohen Gadol. Again, remember we spent all that time developing the idea that Avram really had to be a Kohen at that time, and he was appointed in place of the Temura of Malki Tzedek, or by Al-Divrasi Malki Tzedek, or by Malki Tzedek. And here you have, again, the Kohen Gadol, Aharon, having his own personal Ayol, bringing an Ayol, and then the nation having their Ayol as well, in parallel to that.
Is the holiness service of Yom Kippur, all that unique service, is that all in Muslim? Is there and Shacharis is like a, just kind of a standard whatever they did all year, but all this of what is in Muslim?
It's all integrated. So
so there are